You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Well, what is going on, everybody? Welcome. Welcome, everybody, into the Hump Day Hotline.
Hump Day!
On the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network, presented by Picasso's Pizza. Picasso's, treat yourself to the most flavorful pizza on game day, J. Spencer King. Picasso's, we are Buffalo Pizza, shipping local and nationwide. Order online today at picassospizza.net. J. Spencer King, it's Hump Day.
It's
hump day. It's the last hump day for us until something significant, whether it's the draft or free agency, happens. So we're gonna take ourselves a little bit of break, but it's good to be here. It's good to be here with you. How you doing? How you feeling?
I'm good. I'm gonna tell you what though. I don't quite believe you when you say that. Like, I feel like I'm just saying, I feel like, you know, the Super Bowl is coming up. I feel like it's gonna be something, either like the Super Bowl or like Diggs is gonna get MVP at the Pro Bowl or something crazy, and you're gonna be like, hey, we gotta do hump day. So, but yeah, no, I'm good though. Everything is good.
That's the best thing about this show though, is it's one of those shows that, for me at least, and I think you feel this way too, that like, even if time is missed, when you come back, there's no real time that feels like it's missed, and hopefully it feels that way to the listeners. So welcome to everybody that is tuning into this episode right now on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter. Welcome to everybody who is potentially listening to this in podcast form as well later in the week. It is so good to have every single one of you. And I guess this has been a little bit of a weird year because I have traveled a bunch with my new job. So you and I haven't been together every single week, but it has been a very good season just for us, for the listeners, for those that have tuned into all of Buffalo Rumblings and all the programs that you are so amazingly putting together. But yeah, thanks. Anything you want to say just to the what, attendees? Is that what the people that join us? Like,
Well, I mean, same thing. It's been a year. I think this year, besides like when I actually lived in Buffalo, has been the most games that I've gone to. I would even say when I lived there, because when I had season tickets in Buffalo, I would go to half and then sell like the cold game. So I still think I probably went to more games this year than I have as a fan at any point in my life. So it's been a fun year. Disappointing but rewarding, you know what I mean? So it's just been a good year. And I don't even know if this has officially like been announced yet, but it's also been good like professional wise as far as like Buffalo Rumblings and the podcast side for me. Like, I've, you know, taken over the vidcast side earlier in the year, and then now I don't know if it's official like yet, like I don't know if they announced it. I don't know, but with me taking over the podcast side,
this is a J. Spence exclusive.
I haven't done that in so long. I have to find that. Yeah, I got to find that and put that back in the show. But yeah, so now I'm taking over the podcast side of things. So I'll be the podcast editor and a vidcast editor for Buffalo Rumblings. And that's just fun. It's fun to have that transition, but also it's scary. When I talk to a lot of my friends around the country, people I can actually call friends who have been with SB Nation for so long, and then the layoffs and everything like that. Obviously, we're still a part of SB Nation. Buffalo Rumblings is still supported by SB Nation, but my heart goes out to everybody who was laid off. And, you know, if there's ever anything I can do to kind of help you kind of get back on your feet or do whatever you need to do, please reach out. Don't hesitate.
Yeah, for sure. And it's well-deserved. When you talk about organization, when you talk about creative thinking, and you and I talked a lot in the couple of years that I've been here just about strategy and vision and stuff like that. And, you know, the potential that all of this has. And to me, there isn't a better choice. So it's so congratulations on that. And I'm excited for you and I'm excited for us. And just kind of where this whole thing is going to go. But yeah, super, super cool stuff and super cool announcement. If this is where it's being made for the first time.
Where it's happened. Yeah. Thank you.
Totally sweet. Totally sweet. So I'm down with that for sure. We need more announcements like that. That's good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you and I have not had an opportunity really to chat just about this the game last week against the Bengals. And I think you were in the same place that I am at when you look at the compounding effect that the Chiefs-Bengals game had, the AFC Championship game, when you look at certain things, and you were tweeting, and I was tweeting, and I was liking your tweets, and the algorithms are weird now, so I'm not even sure that you saw some of mine, but I know that some of ours mirrored together. When you like, I was like, oh, it's really great to see the Chiefs get to the Bengal, get to Joe Burrow on third down with just rushing four, right? Just overarching thoughts, what are your takeaways kind of from that, and what when we watched our football team lay an egg right on the national stage?
Man, it's just frustrating because, you know, we go all year and we start the game out we start the year out with Von, and we're top four in the league as far as getting to the quarterback with rushing four when we have Von Miller. After that, it dropped to like 27th.
It's bad.
It's really bad. And the thing that's bad about it, to me, the worst part about it is, obviously, let's be real. We know we lost Von. Mm-hmm. That he's a generational talent. But the thing is, the defensive line is still full of first round and second round draft picks. So, you know, when you figure over the last 4 years, what have we spent? Three or four draft picks on
four. Ed Oliver, AJ Epinesa, Gregory Rousseau, and Boogie Basham.
So, you know, you figure you spend that type of draft capital in the first two rounds and over the last 4 years, and it's just unbelievable that there were excuses online. Like, people were like, you got to remember, we were without Von Miller, we were and without Daquan. I don't want to hear it. Mm-mm. You have first round to Ed Oliver?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like Chris Jones is... At least, and maybe I had too high of an expectation, but Chris Jones is what I expected Ed Oliver to be.
Yeah, second round. He was a second round draft pick, but yeah, to your point. But it goes farther than that for me because it goes into the game plan itself. And I'm trying to figure out how I want to set up what I'm about to say. I mean, I can't believe in a world where the Buffalo Bills play the Cincinnati Bengals in the DeMar Hamlin game on Monday Night Football, potentially try to play. The Bengals get two drives, they score a touchdown, and then they score a field goal, right? So they had 10 points. I mean, are we living in a world where the Bengals are thinking to themselves, if they show us the exact same thing, right, that they showed us 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, whatever it was, we know exactly, we're gonna basically stomp a mud hole in their ass, right? Yeah. And it literally looked like that's kind of what happened. And then you watch the Chiefs game plan against the Bengals, and they're Chris Jones, who's a nose tackle in a 4-3 scheme, is like outside, like against the tight end, and they ran it over and over again, and the Bengals didn't do anything to stop it. They just let the dude keep kind of coming in from the side over the tight end, and they moved him around. There's nobody on that defensive line that I know Chris Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Reasons that I know Chris Jones, if I'm not mistaken, he's also the guy that Josh Allen like threw the football at his face, right? Like when they were laying on the ground, is he the guy that flipped the football to his face? Mm-hmm. There's nobody else, and I think you sent me a tweet just about the impact that the players on that defensive line had, most of which are not first-round draft picks or second-round draft picks, right?
And to your point, like, when you – look, I know guys on the defensive line of the Chargers. Let me see. Like, who's a bad team? The Chargers aren't bad. They made the playoffs. I know guys on the defensive line from Cleveland. True. I know guys on the defensive line from – Like pick your team. I know guys on the defensive line.
Right.
For the Chiefs, I know Chris Jones. And I don't know if that's partially because I don't care to watch them as much anymore because I have like this hatred for them in my heart. But the thing is, it's like it's not rocket science. They don't have a defensive line full of studs. They don't have four Chris Joneses. They have one Chris Jones, and they have guys that they fill in and rotate. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure some of those guys are good. So, like, please forgive me if anybody's listening. Like, are you kidding me? I'm not speaking bad.
There's going to be somebody out there that's like, this guy
is awesome. He doesn't know. And Spence doesn't know crap. What the hell is he doing with a show? So I don't mean it like that. I know the Chiefs roster, but the point that I think Joe and I are trying to make is that there aren't four Pro Bowlers on that team. There aren't not Pro Bowlers, all Pro players, or right. or even four Pro Bowlers on the defensive line.
There aren't two. There aren't two, right? Just one.
So for that line to do what they did, and then you look at our line with first and second round draft picks, blows my mind.
Yeah, it was tough to watch. It was just hard to watch. And then there's other aspects of that football game that, you know, watching T. Higgins, right? I mean, he made a couple incredible grabs in bracketed double coverage, and Burrow's throwing the football, and you're like, don't throw that, and he throws it, and then T. Higgins just snags it out of the air. It unfortunately, I came off of the Bills-Bengals game last week, and I'm not going to say that I'm the first, but I feel like I was the first person to say that we've gone from chasing the Chiefs, right? We're a team that's chasing the Chiefs, to now we're chasing the Chiefs and the Bengals, and maybe even the Eagles and the 49ers, right? That's just kind of how that Bengals game, Bills-Bengals game, left me feeling. And then it gets more reaffirmed when you watch the Chiefs and Bengals play. Now, the 49ers and Eagles game was just a scrap. Like, you just throw that game, just fire it into the sun because Brock Purdy gets injured, and then the game's pretty much over. I think he threw two passes in the second half. It was just awful. Josh Allen injury, right? Which goes, we probably need to have a conversation about the fact that Brock Purdy had the Josh Allen injury, and Allen, after he got it, threw a ball 70 yards down the field.
Well, in fairness, though, I think his is a fully torn, and I think Josh's was partially. So I think his is a little bit, like, a lot more serious. Right. Josh had like a partially torn sprain, which is partially torn.
Right,
his
right.
is a fully torn. It's going to take him like 6 months to recover after surgery.
So he might have to have surgery, you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
I watched his presser, but I have not heard any of that information yet. But anyways, just talking about the Bengals and Chiefs game, and you just whether it's the Chiefs, you're watching the Chiefs team or you're watching that Bengals team, it just feels like there's a gap. And I've been saying for the last week and a half, how did we get here? Because we went from feeling like we've got the most full, complete roster in the NFL to all of a sudden it's like, oh, we got problems. Like Houston, mm-hmm. there's a problem, right? And I think it goes back to, and you did a show last week on the Code of Conduct where you talked a lot about just kind of draft picks. And I know that you went through some of them and I've got them pulled up, and I did a show Wednesday on my Wake Up Wednesday program, on the Overreaction Buffalo podcast, where it's funny because we talk about players, right? And we fall in love with these players, and the teams tell us, you know, it's not personal, it's a business. So you've got a guy that you've got to let go, you've got a guy that you've got to let walk. So Gabriel Davis potentially next year, Devin Singletary this year. Devin, we love you, but it's a business, right? And so pick a player that you love, or player that we've had to let walk out the door. We love you, we want you to be here, but we can't afford you. It's just a business, or whatever the reason is, it's just a business. And the premise of my episode last week was Brandon Bean, right? Like, mm-hmm. you got to start drafting better. Bro, I love you, but it's just a business.
But you know what's crazy? For years, I feel like Bills Mafia, we've been tipping our hat to that. Like, we've been saying, oh my God, this big baller Bean. Like, Brandon Bean is the best GM in the world. And I mean, I've said it. Like, yo, he just drafts so great. He has an eye for talent, and he builds a roster great. Yep. And he does this with contracts. And it's just like, in Buffalo, I feel like we speak about him like he has done no wrong. But then when you look at it in hindsight, there's been misses. There's been guys that we've traded. There's been guys that we don't, you know, like Cody Ford is out here in Phoenix right now and he's enjoying himself. You know, Isaiah Hodges is in New York with the Giants.
Harrison Phillips is in Minnesota and had a really good year, had a really good year this year. But you can go, you can go down through just this list, and do you want to get into year by year and just talk like the 18 draft, the 19 draft, the 20 draft, the 21 draft?
Do you want to bounce around
a little bit?
Well, no, we can do that. But before we do, I do want to say, like, so this last year's draft, because we kind of started talking about the Chiefs game and talking about the Chiefs and Bengals. There's a tweet that Field Yates put up, and he said, impactful day for the Chiefs draft class. This is this season's
2022. Rookie class. 2022.
Cornerback Trent McDuffie, 6 tackles, 2 passes defended. Mm-hmm. Defensive end George Karlaftis. Don't even know if that's his name. Sack. Sky Moore, wide receiver, 3 catches and a punt return, the huge punt return that it was like a 40. Okay. Brian, safety Brian Cook, 4 tackles and pass broken up. Cornerback Joshua Williams interception, cornerback Jalen Watson interception, and Isaiah Pacheco 85 yards. From round 1 to 7, everybody had impact on that game.
Contributed.
And meanwhile, we can't even get Kyer Elam
on the field.
You know, like but go ahead. So however you want to lead that in, I just wanted to bring that tweet up because I thought it blew my mind when I read that. It's like they're talking about 7 rounds worth of guys making an impact in the AFC championship.
I said on one of the shows somewhere, just I talked about Pacheco and that, like, Pacheco, as much as everybody wants to talk about, oh, it's still Andy Reid, it's still Patrick Mahomes and, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster and, you know, Marquez Valdes-Scantling or, you know, yada yada and all that stuff. I feel like Pacheco has had more of an impact on that offense, just the energy that he runs with. And just, I think I texted you, was it you that I texted last night when I was just like, find me guys that want it as bad as that guy, right? That guy just wants it so bad. But what's weird about it, when you talk about like hitting on all seven and all seven making or having an impact, it just feels like the Bills, for whatever reason, just aren't great 1 through 3 in the draft. Like they do a good job after that, like 3 to 5, 3 to 7, 4 to 7, but they just don't do a very good job. And I don't know if, I wonder if in the past or recent history, the Bills felt like they've had the luxury to take guys that are maybe project guys, right? We're a good football team. We got a good roster. We can take a chance on a Gregory Rousseau. Right. We can take a chance. This kid that didn't play the COVID year had one big year his junior year. And now he's coming to the NFL. And, you know, if he had played his senior year, he'd be, you know, probably a top 10 pick. Or so we're going to get an opportunity to take a chance. Spencer Brown, that whole draft, that whole 21 draft, when you look at it, was a bunch of project guys. Am I right or wrong in that? Rousseau,
no, you're right.
Doyle, Stevenson, Hamlin, who was a contributor, Wild Goose gone, Jack Anderson, like all project guys versus a team like the Chiefs that's drafting guys to play right now. Does that make any sense, what I just said?
It makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. And like, you know, I caught myself being disappointed at times, but then turning around and congratulating them. Like, for instance, I was disappointed with the group pick.
Right. I remember we both were.
That's right. Very disappointed. And then like we started to see some things and I'm like, okay, maybe this kid is right. And so I apologized about it. But then again, like you said, like he didn't play the COVID year. So then we're like, okay, he's showing us something. Are they?
Right. Right. So when you go back and you look through just, and this comes back to that, just got to be better. Josh Allen, first draft pick that Brandon Bean makes, right? Which Tremaine Edmonds. So this is a moment where they're drafting for impact. And I don't, you and I didn't talk about this, but literally maybe that's the way that it's got to be segregated. That's the way it's got to be separated, right? So are we drafting for impact or are we drafting because we got a really good roster and we made the AFC championship game or the AFC divisional game and we can pretty much do whatever the hell we want to do. So that year, 2018, the roster wasn't great. I mean, they're coming off of 2017. Bean wasn't a part of, McDermott was, Tre'Davious White, Zay Jones gone, now in Jacksonville, Deion Dawkins, Matt Milano, obviously Peterman, and then Tanner Vallejo. I don't even remember.
Tanner Vallejo. He's actually a starter.
Come on.
He's a starter for the Arizona Cardinals.
Come on. That is not true.
I promise you. He is a starting linebacker for the Arizona Cardinals.
That is amazing. That's funny. Sixth-round draft pick in 2017 by the Buffalo Bills. So they're drafting for, like, we need impact players. 2018, still a team that needs impact players. Josh Allen, Tremaine Edmonds, Harrison Phillips, Taron Johnson, Saran Neal. Do any of these names sound familiar to you? Wyatt Teller, Ray McLeod, who is a wide receiver and the primary returner for the 49ers. And then Austin Prohl, which is a throwaway pick. But you look at that and it's like, that's a good draft. Is that not a good draft?
Well, I mean, it would be good if Wyatt Teller was still on our team.
And right.
But yeah, no, it's a good draft.
It's a good draft. 2019, Ed Oliver. I mean, okay. Where $10.7 million? I mean, do we feel good about that this year?
I don't. And I love Ed. No, like I would be searching to see if anybody wants to trade for that contract.
I would. Right.
I love it.
Right. It's just, I don't even know where to begin when you talk about the I know that there was ridiculous expectations put on Ed Oliver, and I don't want to put that Aaron Donald. He's not Aaron Donald. There's only in the history of the NFL, there's only one Aaron Donald. Mm-hmm. So that's a ridiculous conversation. But to your point is, and they're probably different players, but is Chris Jones too much to ask for? I mean, Chris Jones is a disruptor, plays from the inside, can play across the line. Ed Oliver is a disruptor, plays inside, can play across the line. Chris Jones, second round draft pick. Ed Oliver, obviously taking what, ninth overall, I think was the number.
I just want Thanksgiving Ed Oliver for what do we have? We have 17 weeks in a regular season.
13.
I understand that takes I understand that takes a high motor. Mm-hmm. Give me that Ed Oliver for 13 games.
Right.
And then give me that Ed Oliver in the playoffs.
In the playoffs when it matters. Cody Ford is out there in Arizona with you. And mm-hmm. I don't think that he ever showed any promise to being taken 38th overall. Do you? Do you feel like there was ever a point where you watched him playing like, oh, that's a second round draft pick right there?
No, but I tell you what, too. I said this in Buffalo. Now, he's only played, I think, 6 games out here in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. I said this before he left. I'm like, yo, the Bills are playing musical chairs with this guy's positions. Let mm-hmm. him settle into something and learn. He is a legitimate starter here. They are going to extend him, and they are they love Cody Ford out here, and he's playing right guard, and he's doing it well. He hasn't done it great, but you can tell like just the consistency of one role. Mm. Now we haven't had Kyler Murray out here. He tore his ACL, and you know the team is about to go through some things, but he's going to be an Arizona Cardinal next year, amazing. He's going to be the starting right guard. So again. Do I think that Brandon Bean has like a horrible eye? No, I think he has a good eye for talent. But our problem is A, we give up on guys. B, we don't develop guys. And then C, you know, if we do develop them, it's like it takes so long for us to develop. Like, what are we doing with Kyer Elam this year? Like, what was this?
It's not even about what was this. If you've got Dane Jackson and Tre'Davious White, who are your incumbent starters, and Tre'Davious White hypothetically isn't injured, and you draft Kyer Elam to be the heir apparent to Christian Benford, which makes sense, right? You've got the big money Tre'Davious White lockdown corner. You got the low money guy, Dane Jackson, 7th round pick, I believe. And then like you're going to draft Kyer Elam to come in so that like to kind of bridge that like lockdown corner so that when Trey's contract ends, then that's about the time you're giving the next guy the money. So it kind of makes sense. But you draft this kid and like Christian Benford starts over him several times.
Mm-hmm.
And it just leaves you kind of as a fan going, did we make a mistake? Is that another first round defensive mistake that we potentially made there?
And then I know it's still early for him, but then you see these guys get traded or cut and go to other teams and then become successful players. And I just don't get it.
Sterling said last week on the Humpty Hotline when you were unable to be with us that the Buffalo Bills just are not a team that develop players. They just don't develop players well. I don't know that I've done enough research or paid attention to say whether or not that's true. It does seem like, and I don't remember who I heard say it, it was just coincidental that I heard somebody else or read somebody else talk about the fact that when in the NFL anymore, there's not a great onus on developing guys. There's an expectation that guys come in and they're ready to play. And that idea of being developed is on them, which we saw Josh Allen do, right? We saw Josh Allen mm-hmm. go get a quarterback coach, go get Palmer. Jordan Palmer, right? Mm-hmm. Like and work with him and like basically give himself over to him. Look into every single thing that I do, my feet, my shoulders, my whatever my hip rotation is, find out what I'm doing wrong and fix me. And it just so I don't know necessarily where that balance is between no, it's the team's responsibility to develop a guy versus no, we wholly expect like players to go out and kind of develop themselves. When you look at just the balance of these picks, I mean, and Sterling and I went back and forth last week when you talk about, and I know that I'm gonna rub people raw at some point in time about the Isaiah Hodgins thing. And you and I have historically gone back and forth about Isaiah Hodgins for 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Last year, and then into this year, and it turned into a, hey, this kid might have something, right? And then he gets picked up by the Giants and surprises all of us. So as much as I'm hoping and rooting for the kid, it's a surprise to see him doing what he was doing in New York. Like, it's not, I'm not going to be like, told you so. Like, no, there's an aspect of rooting for the kid. I believe he's got talent. I trust him. And then he shows out. But when you look at that situation, Isaiah Hodgins, what one of the things the Buffalo Bills need the most is a number two wide receiver. And he walks into the Giants and he just takes a number two wide receiver role. He just basically is like, I'm here for it, and takes it. 8 catches, 100 yards, touchdown every single game, like, later. And he's like the number two guy. They're probably going to, I would expect them to give him a contract this year, right? An extension.
I'm sure.
Who knows what that number is going to be. So that's a guy that maybe, I don't know if the Bills developed him or not. I mean, he was in the system for two years, right? 2.5 years.
I feel like there's at least there should be an expectation of both. Because, like, in season especially, so, you know, we have these guys on our practice squad. And to me, it's like, look, especially this year, we've seen it to where our depth is called into question. You have these guys, like, we've talked about depth all off season, and we talk about how our practice squad got starters for other teams and all this stuff.
Yep.
And then when our guys go down, there's a huge drop off this season. There was a huge drop off this year. And so the thing is, my expectation is, okay, like, right now, okay, it's vacation time. I get it. Guys are going to go to the Pro Bowl, spend some time with their families. They're going to probably, you know, got some guys. I know there's the joke about Eli Apple in Cancun, but some guys are going, you know, going Cancun to some places.
Cancun on three, Eli.
Cancun on three. Some guys are going, they're going out. So I get it. But then once vacation's over, then it's time to get back to work. Yep. And when they do, I expect them. So I don't know what this year would be for Josh, but, you know, every year he's worked on something. Like, he takes one thing and then he really corrects that. I don't know what it would be this year, but I expect those guys to really work. Get a coach, get a trainer that you can work with during the offseason. But then if you're not a starter, even if you are a starter, if you're playing, if you're not and you're in a practice, I fully expect during the year when those guys are in the building, the Buffalo Bills should be training those guys to perform up to the same level as this, and I get it. That just doesn't, but you have to train. Like, this is how these guys get back. And with them training, you have to have the right eye to be able to trust what you're training. Because why does Isaiah Hodgins immediately leave Buffalo and make a difference in New York? It wasn't like you spent half the season there and then, like, they trained him up and said, okay, now you know the playbook, come on in. I know he knows the playbook pretty much from day one.
So he had a head start a little bit,
but he gets there and it's a new program. It's a new program, and he's contributing immediately. He's catching touchdowns in the playoffs.
Yep
100%. I don't know either.
And when you look at coming into 2023 in this draft, You know we've got needs, right? Offensive guard. You know, moving Ryan Bates to right guard was not a good idea. Roger Saffold, I loved the signing, and it did not pan out. I think I saw PFF or somebody said that out of 58 guards that were potentially rankable, he was number 50, and he just made the Pro Bowl, but that's why they said it. Like, he's the 50th ranked guard.
Elena tweeted that.
What's that?
No, I said, I think Elena tweeted that, but yeah.
Oh, it was, but yeah, it's just ridiculous. Like,
just bad.
Move Ryan Bates back to left guard where he's stronger because his ranking dropped as a right guard. Draft yourself an offensive guard to play right guard. I think potentially that makes that offensive unit better, right? You're looking at, and you sent me today, a guy in the second round that's potentially there as a wide receiver for a number two. Was it Austin? Hutchinson, right?
Hutchinson,
Xavier. So Xavier Hutchinson, not Austin, Xavier Hutchinson. And I watched that film twice. As far as the film that you showed me, he looked incredible. But round three, the Bills drafted Terrell Bernard in 2022, who did he play a game?
I think maybe when Tremaine was injured.
I just don't think you can miss Khalil Shakir, who has phenomenal potential. I don't know that he was ready, right? Like James Cook. So James and Sterling was bouncing off this last week. You know, if you draft a guy number two, he better be ready. And I don't necessarily disagree. I was landing on the side of, it was fun to watch the growth in James Cook weeks 1 through 4, 1 through 5. clearly the game was too big for him. He looked like, you know, a duck on a pond, you know, legs going a million miles an hour and kind of wasn't sure what to do. By the Bears game, right, setting up his blocks, patient runner, find the hole, dart through it. He just looked like a toy. It was fun to watch that. And Sterling, to his credit, was right. If you draft a guy in the second round, that mother trucker should play, right, and be good.
Yeah.
Get your Elam, James Cook, both those guys should be playing every single week. Round three, just wipe away. So if we can get a guard, if we can get a wide receiver, changes that wide receiver room, fixes the old offensive line possibly. And then, you know, I just – are we – do you trust this front office to put it – like 2023, we got to put it together. We got to hit a home run like we did in 2017 or 2018. We got to hit a home run like we did in 2018. Allen, Edmonds, Phillips, Taron Johnson, Teron Neal, Wyatt Teller, Ray McLeod. Like, that's – is that seven guys? One, two, three, four, five, six. Seven guys that are impact players in the NFL.
Well, I tell you what, I don't.
That was quick.
My confidence in Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott at this point, it was sky high. And it's not just the loss that makes me less confident. Confidence – yeah, I think they're great guys. They're great leaders. But when it comes to, like, being winners.
Yeah, yeah.
In the biggest moments and developing guys to step in and be winners. Because what you saw, again, we could talk about the Chiefs. They were down two receivers. Travis Kelce was beat up going into the game. He didn't even know if he was going to freaking play.
Yep.
Patrick Mahomes was limping. Beat and
up. Yep.
So you had a beat up team. And at some point, coaching has to come into play. It's not just about, well, Patrick Mahomes is talented. Yeah, he is. But guess what? Andy Reid made the game easier for him to still be Patrick Mahomes on an injured ankle. Mm. Sometimes the coaches have to say, we got to do this, we got to do that. They don't make the game easier for Josh. To me, if anything, they make it harder. If all we're doing is go routes all year, like Josh throws, he has the highest average depth of attempt. Like, it's just insane.
Yeah.
And it's not close.
But it goes both ways. It's even on the defense. John Fina and I on the Off Tackle John Fina show, after the Patriots season ender, where the Bills didn't look like, and we know now that they didn't have a lot of time to game plan. They didn't have a lot of time to practice coming off of the DeMar Hamlin game in Cincinnati. We felt strongly that the Bills, hey, if you're expecting the Bills defense to go in and game plan against the Dolphins in the first round of the playoffs, you're going to be sorely mistaken. So we said that on Monday before that Dolphins playoff game. And sure as crap, dude, they trotted that 4-2 nickel defense out there. And what's that dude's name? Skylar Thompson throws for 300 yards against the Buffalo Bills defense, right? And he's like throwing to wide open wide receivers. Now the Bills won that game to their credit. But it's almost like there's two issues. The first issue is the roster, right? And roster construction and how we're drafting. Do you draft impact players always, or do you take a chance if you've got a good roster and draft a group of Russo, Basham, Spencer Brown, Tommy Doyle, Marquez Stevenson, Damar Hamlin, Rashard Wild Goose, Jack Anderson? Do you draft in 2021 a bunch of guys that are project guys? And then at the same time, are we helping from a coaching standpoint? Are we helping our offense and defense out? I asked Joe Marino this question this week. There's a point where, you know, you're working the probabilities against yourself, right? So the Buffalo Bills predicate their defense on, we're going to force you to put 12 and 14 drive plays together to get down the field and score a touchdown. We're not going to let you have the big play. You're going to have to play perfect football, 12 to 14 yards or 14 plays, get down the football field and score on us. Teams like the Chiefs and the Bengals are like, bet, let's do it, right? I mean, they're up to that challenge. And when you talk about probabilities, and this works against the Bills on both sides, they don't want to be in a situation where they allow a low probability play, big ball over the top to beat you. Low probability on defense. We're not going to do that. So they're working that probability against themselves. At the very same time, we watched Josh Allen. I don't remember which game it was. It was the Dolphins game. Drop back and throw over 50 yards 13 times in a game, or over 30 yards 13 times in a game. They're working that probability against themselves as well, because those are low percentage plays. Meanwhile, the freaking Bengals and the Chiefs are out here, right, wide receiver screen, running back to the flat, 5 yards, 10 yards, 12 yards, and just move the ball down the field. I just.
Just easy, easy, easy.
Easy.
I spoke with Nate Geary for the Code of Conduct this week, and we were talking about, so I was bored last week, you know, after the Bills loss, I was starting my five stages of grief, and I was angry. And then I was, you know, so I went through, through the whole thing.
Numb the first one. It's like, what is that? I'm just numb.
Like what is, so, but I went back to watch, and I'm gonna tell you what, man, the first 3 weeks of the season, it was a completely different offense.
Oh my gosh.
Now I don't know if Josh is, which actually I would think Josh's elbow injury would make them continue to play the first, like the offense that we played the first mm-hmm. few weeks of the mm-hmm. season. But if you go back and watch that first game against the Rams, I think Diggs had like 12 receptions. Mm. And if you look at them, more than half of them, the pass was less than 7 yards, but the play turned into like 12, 11 yard right. gains.
Right.
They did the same thing week two against the Titans.
Right.
And again, we had Crowder, we had some pieces in there that were injured that we didn't have throughout the year. But you can't tell me that you believe, just because we average more yards and just because we actually score, it just means that we have an incredibly gifted quarterback, an incredibly mm-hmm. gifted wide receiver one, and they still kind of make things happen. But when you really look at it, man, outside of Diggs and outside of what Josh was able to do, this team was lethargic on offense for most of the season. I'm telling you, when you time, go back and watch the Rams game.
No, you're right. You're 100%
right. Man, it's so frustrating too, because if we would have ran that same offense in the divisional round,
right,
I guarantee you we would have won. I get the defense gave up 14 points in the first two drives. I get it. People were mad about everything. But the way that second half looked, the mm-hmm. Buffalo Bills could have absolutely won. We held them to 10 points right. in the second half.
Right.
If the Buffalo Bills would have moved, if the offense, you don't have Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, whoever you want to add there, Cole Beasley, Isaiah McKenzie, James Cook, Devin Singletary, and score 10 points in the playoffs at home.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
There's just so much that's confusing to me, and I've brought it up on several occasions. You know, the Bills signed Cole Beasley to the active roster, right, for the mm-hmm. playoffs. So he's on the team. This isn't a call-up. It's not John Brown coming up as a practice squad player. He's on the team. And in the Dolphins game, the first playoff game, I think Khalil Shakir had more snaps than Cole Beasley. And I know there's a lot of people who are like, well, I'd rather have Khalil Shakir have more snaps. Probably me too, week 14.
Yeah, not in the divisional round at home against the Chiefs. No, I don't want right. that. Against
right. the like, give me the proven guy. Give me the guy that I know yeah. can get open against the zone, right? Give me that's that guy. Like,
yep. So 10 times out of 10, give me that. That's what I want. I don't want this. We shouldn't be figuring it out in the playoffs. Because the playoffs is the time not to figure it out. It's the time to say, okay, we're this dominant team and we're going to dominate.
Right.
You figure things out weeks 1 through 18, you can figure things out.
Yeah.
Especially you have a 13-2 record going into the last, or 13-3 record going into the yep. last week. Hell, open the playbook up, try some fun things. I right. don't care. Do what you want. In the playoffs, right. and I know you mentioned, to their credit, we beat the Dolphins. I don't give them points for that game. There's no reason that game should have been as close as it was. Skylar Thompson, come on. And that's not a diss to Skylar. He's a professional player. He played very well in college. But you have Jordan Poyer, Trey White, Tremaine Edmonds, Matt Milano. Like, you have these guys on defense you just don't let that happen. And then offensively, you know, again, help your quarterback out. You're putting him in these positions to where you know who Josh is. So you know when Josh decides, well, you know what? It doesn't look the way I want it to look. It's time for me to take over. Then he fumbles the ball, fumbles it into the end zone. They recover it, touchdown. What the hell are we doing? John Fina was like, I don't know if I like this, Spence. Like, I can't watch the game with you, man.
Yeah, you guys were together. That's right.
Dude, I was so pissed.
Dude, you know? How many games have you been to in your life? Just guess, random.
Bills or just in general football?
Bills. Foot 50, 40?
I would say about north of 50, like 60, around 60.
Probably there, if not more. I lived in Columbus, Ohio for 13 years as a season ticket holder during the drought, so I would only come home for one or two games a year for like 10 years. Mm-hmm. I've been to a bunch of football games. Josh Allen, and I got flamed for this. Josh Allen goes back to pass. There's a minute and 40 left on the clock. We're all over the place, but this is a fun conversation. There's a minute and 40 left on the clock. Third and eight. He goes back to pass, throws the ball 60 yards downfield, incomplete. They punt the ball. The Dolphins then score 11 points inside of a minute 40, and the Bills score another three, which is insane to even think about. But it's all because Josh Allen drops back and throws a bomb on third and eight inside of a minute. There's no reason to throw a bomb third. You don't even want to score there. Why would you want to give them the ball back, right? You want to drag the clock out, which we've watched them do all year long. And this is where I'm going with this. Because of the amount of games you've been to. First possession coming out of the half, strip sack, fumble, Dolphins are leading. It's the first time I've ever been in that stadium where the fans were just in shock. We were like, oh, it's so quiet in here while the Bills have the ball again on offense. It's like, no, we're not being quiet because we're being respectful. Yeah. We are literally in shock at how are we losing this football game right now.
But again, that's the MO. That's what they're doing. Because you just mentioned third and eight, throw a bomb instead of fourth and two.
Right.
Fourth and two, this last game. Yeah. You go for a bomb to Gabriel Davis I don't even remember who it was at this point
because
it annoyed me. But you had Dawson Knox crossing for 4 yards.
Yep.
You had right behind him, maybe 3 yards behind him, you had Cole Beasley crossing again open. You had two guys open.
Open, wide open.
But we're going for a 40-yard bomb. Come on, man.
I don't know where we go from here. And I mean you and me. like I don't, it's just, yeah, when you rehash what we watched in that Bengals game and the egg that was laid, and then you watch the Chiefs-Bengals game, which was a good football game. That's what I wanted both of those games to be good football games. We got it out of one of them. But when you watch a Bills team that beat that Chiefs team, and then you watch that Bengals team get beat by the Chiefs in ways that we could have easily beat them, it just leaves you wanting. It puts you in a position of, what is the problem? Is it the roster? Is it the coaching? Is it the management? Is it the front office? Is it the drafting? Like, and I think that's the unsettling part. Like, this team has regressed, right, over this past year. They've regressed, and we've left the Houston Texans playoff game expecting the Bills to get better. They didn't make the playoffs. Did they make the playoffs the next year? They did, right? So Josh Allen's got on the playoffs 4 years in a row. So they made the playoffs the next year. And then they went to the AFC Championship round. And it's like, but they lost that game. And then they go to the divisional round, but it's like the greatest playoff game that's ever been played. And every expectation is from us, Bills Mafia, the media, their Bills players' families, everybody. It's like, this team is, they're the nuts. Like, they are it. And then 2022 happens and that last game happens, and I just feel like it affirmed every fear we had about the roster kind of like through the season. Once Vaughn went down and Josh got hurt and some other things, and Gabe was dropping 50% of his passes, I think we all just kind of felt like, I'm not so sure about this roster, but we had hope, right? And then that game happens and you're like, oh shit, it's all true.
Man, I'm so, I got dragged most of the year, not by you or other content creators, but I got dragged by Bills Mafia for saying that Gabe was underperforming with that 50% drop rate. Like,
you were on it all year long. You were on it.
And it's not like, I'm not saying that at this point to say like, okay, see, I told you so. I'm saying it to say like, look, we got to be honest about our guys.
Yeah.
Just like this. So the game that we lost against the Bengals, I told right after the game, I tweeted out, like, I think somebody said Diggs got to be better because he was yelling on the sideline. And I'm like, you spelled Josh wrong. Like,
I saw that tweet.
And people were calling me an idiot, calling me. And I was like, look, I love Josh just as much as the next person in Buffalo. Yep. I love Josh Allen. I before anybody else, I publicly was like, I'm not trading Josh Allen for Patrick.
You were the guy.
So I love Josh, but it doesn't mean he's blameless. Like, you can't be a top three quarterback and score 10 points at home in the divisional round of the playoffs.
You can't.
Now, is he? Yes, he is a top three quarterback. What I'm saying is, when I say you can't be that and do that, what I'm saying is, no, like, you're on this level. You can't play on this level in the playoffs. That's not acceptable.
Right. I think it goes back to the crux of our conversation, though. I think it goes back to Brandon Bean and Ken Dorsey. I think, and it was reported by a couple media outlets, like, you can't ask him to be Superman. There's a point where Josh Allen, and no matter how much talent he has, no matter how much ability he has, you can ask him to do too much. And that's literally where the Bills got to in the last 5 and 6 weeks of the season, including the playoffs. They just got to the point where it's like, you know what, Josh, go out there and just play backyard football. They need to get him help. They need to put a team around him like the Bengals have. They need to put a defense around him. They need to put receivers around him. They need to put a running back around him. And that kid will become the best quarterback in football, hands down, because he has every immeasurable you would want, right?
Right. But see, for me, again, I don't know what he's going to work on over the summer. I don't know how you work on what I'm about to say, but for me, the next step for Josh, I need him. We already know he's the android of a football player. He's a freak. Like, the guy can do everything. He can run, he can throw, he can jump, he can do everything. But at this point, now I need him to become a master. Like, I need him to learn how to play chess.
Yeah.
So when, you know, Peyton Manning was not mobile, he couldn't run. Tom Brady wasn't mobile, he couldn't run. But he would dissect the defense in a way that would make the best surgeon jealous. Like, he was surgical, both of those guys. Now, at this point, I needed to get to a point where Josh Allen can choose any Sunday. You know, I'm a run. No, I'm a throw. Because I just needed to get to the point where he just always knows who he's throwing to, when he's throwing it, how he's throwing it, make throws that nobody else can make, and then control the line of scrimmage. You and I had a pod maybe last summer or the summer before, where we were talking about Jim Kelly and how you give him a lot of credit as far as, like, being like the first generation of Peyton Manning's as far as controlling the offense. Like, you know, and with that being the case, I don't know, maybe this summer spend time with Jim. I don't know what to do, but at some point, it has to get to a point where I get it. We have a offensive play caller. This year was his first year. We have, you know, I get it. You get these smart guys that know offense. That at some point, I want Josh Allen to be his own offensive coordinator.
Yes,
like that's what certain quarterbacks have. You think Aaron Rodgers actually listens to his quarterback coach or his? No. So what I'm saying is that I want there to be a year. I need to see a year where Josh comes in and the offense is his.
Yep. Those offensive coordinators, it's about the wrinkles, right? So the quarterback comes in and says, this is what I do well. These are the plays that, in my opinion, are unstoppable, that when I throw them, like for Allen, we know what some of those throws are that nobody else can make. Mm-hmm. And then the offensive coordinator says, what if we do this? And then the quarterback goes, oh yeah, that is amazing.
What if we do that? And then how about this? Just in case they know what we're doing here, how about we throw this option in here for you, just in case it's not there?
Right.
Eureka. Like, what is happening to where we just – and I get it. Again, I'm giving Dorsey some credit. It was his first year. Mm-hmm. We were a top four offense, top five offense. So I'm giving him credit. I think we were ranked two, like, statistically.
This whole season for me, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good.
Literally stomps the period or the exclamation point at the end of the stats only matter until they don't. And it just might be recency bias of that last game. I just feel like it all unraveled and showed us who they were. But go ahead. Sorry. Yes, they were ranked high. They were absolutely ranked high. DVOA, as well as like defensive rankings, points per game, and like I think rushing, not so much passing this year, but yes, total defense as well. But yeah.
Yeah, no, you're saying everything. And I'm a big stats guy, you know, for certain reasons.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I'll put it like this, and then we can move on or leave or whatever you want to do. But
we've almost burned an hour.
Okay. So the way we were texting the other day, and you were saying, like, if it was up to you, we would, like, not re-sign Frazier. We'll move on from Frazier. We'll move on from, like, you had some, or maybe you didn't say.
No. I said that, but I said, and if not, if we keep Frazier, I need a new mind with fresh eyes.
Okay, yeah.
Right? Either Frazier comes or stays or goes, but if he stays, I need a new mind with fresh eyes for new wrinkles, new ideas, new thoughts, because I think it's time to sunset the 4-2 nickel defense, but that's just me. Go ahead.
Okay, and that's fair. So what I was saying was the conversation that we had when that came up, I'm like, yeah, but he's given us a top five defense.
Yeah,
80% of the time he's been
true.
Here.
True.
You know, and so for me, those stats matter to me, because to me it's like that shows. I said to Nate on Code of Conduct, I'm like, we've had Frazier here, and I think maybe one season, and I think it was the COVID year when Josh kind of took over, like when we first saw this good Josh Allen.
Oh my gosh, Josh.
I think that was the year that the defense wasn't as good. We were getting thrashed in the run.
Yes.
And Josh has carried us that year. Other than that, there aren't many games that you could say the defense really let Josh down this week. There just aren't.
It's just a game here or there, and generally the last game of the season.
And that's fair. My point now. So now for me, again, we're talking about levels and the next step in guys for what they're going to do. You're going to talk about this defense, and Leslie, I'm with you. I don't know if you bring in an assistant for Frazier that has fresh eyes. I don't know if, some of these old players, like, I love the idea when Rex was here and we brought in Ed Reed. Was Ed Reed the best coach? Maybe not. I don't know. But bring in a guy that either used to play with or somebody used to coach who wants to get into coaching. Bring him in and like, okay, you were on the field more recently than I was. Let's use your, you know what I mean? I'm just saying, something.
Yes.
Just something.
For sure.
But this thing where we're the number 1, 2, 4, 5 defense and then we lose in the playoffs because we don't play defense at all. I'm saying that with respect. Cause again, I said, like, we held them to 10 points in the second half this last game. Yeah. I thoroughly believe that this game, yeah, we were upset in that first quarter, but I think the defense still played well enough to win. Like, I do. I still think they played well enough to win. I think the offense completely disappointed me. I can't speak for everybody else. They disappointed me.
The only caveat I would have is I don't know how much the Bengals took their foot off the gas. Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. I don't know. I mean, but yeah, it's when you look at those first two drives the Bengals had, they had 145 yards in two drives. They had one negative play, and the negative play was a no gainer. It wasn't even a minus play. They had no incomplete passes. Like, it was just.
Yeah, they were like 9 for 9. It was.
They literally went out there and almost like they were a professional football team with Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Joe Mixon and Joe Burrow, and we're playing against a college defense. It's literally what it looked like. I sat in the stands. What is happening? And I know you watched it on television, obviously, but I was just like, the crowd, and the crowd was loud. That was one of the loudest crowds that I think I've been to in a very, very, very long time. The crowd was in the game.
And I was this close to pulling the trigger, and I'm so happy I didn't fly to Buffalo for that game. When I so
pissed off,
Joe, I was like, when I tell you, I was literally on the website, like I was on American Airlines website, and like I kept, should I do it? Should I not do it?
Right.
And I was like, I was right there. I was going to catch a red eye and beat her for that game. And I thank God I didn't. I would have been so mad.
Well, we got to end this thing. So what do we want to say? So expectations, I think all this is fixable. I think it's fixable with the salary cap situation. I think you move, like I said, Ryan Bates back to left guard, draft a guard early, wide receiver second round. Tremaine Edmonds to me is vital. I'm going to say what I said to you in text today, that Jordan Poyer is vital to this defense. I think they can find the cap space. I don't think they'll make all those moves that you sent me that Greg Thompson kind of put together. I think they'll probably make one or two of them because it'll put them in cap hell in a couple of years. They'll put them in Sean Payton land, Sean McVay Sean McVay land as well. Thoughts on where do they go? How do they fix this for 2023?
I mean, we started the show off talking about drafts.
Yep.
They got this year. you have to draft guys that are playing.
Yeah.
This isn't a, this can't be a hit or miss thing where it's like, okay, we can have a guy that might, and he don't make it. No, you have to draft. Now, last year also, I know we drafted a punter that went through some legal things. And yeah, so that made it. But aside from that, you have to hit every draft, every pick in this draft. And
contribute.
And to be honest with you, however they're going to, if they do free up money and try to bring in one or two free agents, or I don't know what they're going to do, however they're going to do it, I need a better offensive line unit. And I need another, I don't want to put rankings on, like, I don't want to say a wide receiver two, wide receiver three, four. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Get another wide receiver that can contribute after Stephon Diggs. Now, perfect world for me, and I say this quick, perfect world for me, convert a couple of those contracts, get some big money, not big, but enough money to do something.
Yep.
Draft, get an offensive lineman in the first and second round. I would trade first and second round. Give me offensive lineman.
Wow.
I would trade whichever one of the guys that I'm not going to say the name, I'll tell you when we get off the air, because I don't want people yelling at me. There's a couple guys that I would consider trading.
Yep.
Go get D-Hop. Work out a contract with him where you extend him.
That news dropped the day that
we were live.
And we talked about it. Yep.
So to me, perfect world, draft two offensive linemen in the first two rounds.
Yep.
Get a running back in the third round. Then if you want to go defense that might contribute, fine. Get a safety in the fourth or whatever you want to do.
Yep.
Go get D-Hop. So it'd be D-Hop, Beasley, Davis, and Shakir. Give me that core of receivers. And I promise you, I'll shut up next season. You won't hear me complaining at all next season.
The Buffalo Bills just need to hire you. So, because that's a freaking fantastic idea. I would love to see that happen. So Brandon Bean, if you're watching, take notes.
I'm gonna add his wife on Twitter. Hey, Mrs. Bean, go listen to Hump Day and tell your husband what I said.
That's amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been tuned into the Hump Day Hotline on the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network, presented by Picasso's Pizza. My name is Joe Miller. You can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. That guy over there is my co-host, Jay Spence. And you can find him on Twitter at Jay Spence the King. Any final thoughts? So this is our last show for who knows how long. We're gonna take a little bit of a break. Are you taking a break from Code of Conduct at all?
No, I'm actually going to be pushing the Code of Conduct.
You're gonna power all through
the summer.
Yep.
So now it will be a little different. I'm not going to do full hours. Sometimes I probably won't do interviews some weeks.
Oh, very cool.
One of the things I am going to try to do, though, we have a ton of writers with Buffalo Rumblings.
Yes, we do.
So what I'm going to try to do is I want to get a writer a week and give them a chance for people to kind of see their face, get to know who they are, and just interview them about some stuff. But no, it's going to be a fun summer. I got some nice interviews coming up too, though. So it's going to be a fun summer.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to be off for a couple months. If so, I'm not sure exactly how long, but enough break just to recharge and refill. But for me, for Jay Spence the King, tomorrow is the three-man rush with Jerry Ostrowski, former Buffalo Bills offensive lineman. I was going to say offensive guard, but he played center,
we need
guard,
him, deckle. we need him. Jerry's a big boy. You put him on that line now, he's going to help.
Right, and Sarah Larson. And for me, for Jay Spence the King, for all of us here at Buffalo Rumblings, go Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.